I'd like to bid you welcome in the Saviour's name to this special sending forth service for Alejandro and Vanessa and their three children. We welcome you in the Saviour's name. As we come to the Lord tonight, we come in worship and praise, and we sing together 351. This is one of Alex's favourite hymns, and we're going to sing this hymn tonight. When peace like a river attendeth my way, and sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. We keep our seats. the Reverend Joshua Moffat, and he has now been in the ministry in Bangor for a year. I'm going to ask him to come and lead us to the throne of grace in our opening prayer. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. It's a joy to be here and a joy to take part at the 74th service. Brother
Alejandro Bernabeu. I travelled with Alex for 3 years, nearly every day for 3 years, and I don't want to breach my bounds. I've just been asked to come and to pray, but it would be remiss of me not to say something about our brother. We travelled together every morning. We noticed a trend in our conversations. Going up the road to college, we would have talked about spiritual things, would have talked about the Lord, would have talked about our studies, would have talked about what we were preaching that weekend. But coming home, we talked about what we were eating for dinner. We talked about our food. We talked about our stomachs the whole way home, more often than not. My Spanish isn't very good. I told the folks in Bangor this morning we wanted to wish our brother a fond bonjour as he travels back to the land of his calling, the land which God has called him to. And we do pray, Alex and Vanessa, that the Lord will bless you as you seek to serve him in the land of Spain. We could say many things about Alejandro. We could talk about his intelligence. I know there's two other students here tonight, three other students, and Alejandro could have ran rings around us in exams, even though it was his second language. The man is a genius. I mean that. Very intelligent individual. I could talk about that. I could talk about his driving. Not so great. He's definitely Spanish. But the thing I want to point out the most tonight about our brother Alejandro, and indeed Vanessa, is they are a couple of the most Christ-like character. And that's the quality, really, that stands out when I think of Alejandro, when I think of Vanessa. Above anything else, above any worldly acclaim, they are a most Christ-like couple. And brother and sister, we're praying for you as you go to the land of Spain. Keep in touch. Don't be strangers. And we do trust that the Lord will richly bless your labors for him. Let's seek the Lord's face together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank thee tonight that we can draw near to the throne of grace and pray unto thee. Father, we thank thee that though our brother has studied in the college, though he has earned his qualifications, though he's passed his exams, the greatest qualification is what he was singing of tonight. It is well with my soul. Father, we thank thee that our brother, as they go out, brother and sister, that they're saved by the grace of Almighty God. And Father, we pray as they head out that, Lord, you'll bless them, that you'll go before them. Father, we do pray that thou wouldst pave the way for them in the land of Spain. And Father, we do pray that in due season, even early, we would hear of many souls coming to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, bless their family, give them journeying mercies. And Lord, we do pray that the Spirit of God would fall upon our brother's ministry, and that he would be endowed with the Holy Ghost, even as he seeks to labor for thee. Lord, carry them, we pray thee, set a fence around about them. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst protect them with thy grace, and even go before them, Father, we pray. And Lord, let us hear of many souls coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless them, keep them, we pray, and keep us, even as we're here in Ballymoney or Bangor or wherever we may be, keep us always praying for them. Let us hold the ropes for this couple in prayer. Lord, bless us all tonight. Bless the preaching of thy word, we pray. And bless all who would take part. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Somewhere maybe to preach, the students will go and preach that in order to recognize them, they said there's one man looks Spanish. Oh, the one man is from Spain, rather, and the other is from Northern Ireland. And when they met the two of them, they thought that Joshua was from Spain, and Alejandro, well, he looks like a good Ulster man, don't you? Of course, his mum was from this part, and that's probably why. Now, this is not only a farewell tonight, it's also the dedication of their third little child, Ezekiel, and we have a dedication hymn that we're going to sing together, the first two verses for now. And after the two verses, we'll have the dedication down there. Oh, give us homes built firm upon the Savior, where Christ is head and counselor and guide. Mm-hmm. Sort of say, vamos, I think it is, come on. Or as they say in Romania, mishkade, repede. So it's good to have you here tonight as a wee family. And this is the blessing of God that the Lord has given to them since coming to Ballymoney. Moved here 6 years ago when they got married. And God has blessed them with three beautiful children. And the latest to be born, of course, is Ezekiel. And we have him here in the house of God tonight, very simply to dedicate him to the Lord, following the example of Scripture and the invitation of Christ. And those are the two passages that we're going to read as we normally do. First of all, from 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 20 onwards, giving us the example of Hannah, who brought her little one to the house of God in ancient times. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. And Elkanah and her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, and tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks, one ephah of flour, a bottle of wine, brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. Then we go to the New Testament, to that lovely passage in Mark chapter 10. Verse 13 to 16. And here we have the invitation of Christ as he bids the children come to him. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. We should be at the dedication. Don't know whether that was a wee child or an adult that dropped that clangor, but that's okay. Good to have you here in God's house tonight. We're going to ask, just for this part, the congregation just to simply stand as we have this little part. So you, the parents of this child, acknowledge and confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Do you promise, depending upon divine grace, to bring up your little one in the fear and the admonition of God? Following the example of Scripture and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I dedicate thee, Ezekiel Bernabeu Rodriguez, to the Lord, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Usually at this time, I would take the child and just pray with the little one. We're not going to do that tonight because of our social distancing or our physical distancing, as we said this morning. But we are going to pray for Ezekiel. I was thinking about his name. You will know by now that his name means God's strength, or God strengthens. We know that he was, in ancient times, the Ezekiel of the Bible. He was a mighty man of God. He was originally a priest that left his homeland through the captivity. He became a prophet of God that the Lord called and anointed to preach the word. And he saw visions of the Lord, a remarkable vision of God in the opening chapter. We'll come to see something of that later. And we know that he was mightily used of God. And we pray that all of this will be featured in the life of this little one growing up, knowing the Lord, walking with God. May it be that God will call him to be a prophet to the name of the Lord in time to come. And the abbreviation, certainly what I looked up, is Zeke, or Zeke, okay? So if you do the latter one, you've got Abbe, you've got Eli, and you've got Zeke. All right, that keeps it simple for your kids. We're going to pray. We're going to ask the Lord's blessing upon little Ezekiel tonight. Heavenly Father, we bow with humble gratitude in your house, in your presence. And we do so in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sole King and Head of the Church, and the one who blesses us with every blessing that we have. We thank thee that all that we enjoy in this life comes from a God who loves us, a God who indeed in the person of Christ gave himself for us. We thank thee that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And we know especially children are the gift of God. They are given to our homes, ordained by God to be brought into our families. You've blessed this home. We think of we Abbe and Ellie and now Lord Ezekiel. Very simply tonight we want to hand this child over to the Lord and to pray earnestly for him tonight. And we know that this has been the prayer of this Christian couple, that their child will grow up in the fear and admonition of God, will be instructed in the things of the Lord, and early in life will seek the God of his mother and father, and trust in Christ as Redeemer. We pray for Ezekiel's conversion to Jesus Christ very definitely tonight. And just as it was in Scripture, we bring him to the house of God like Hannah did. We present him to the Lord tonight for your blessing to be upon him. We thank thee for the invitation of Christ in a time when the disciples were shooing the children away, when Jesus said, "Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Lord Jesus, take this little infant child up in thine arms tonight. Put thy divine and omnipotent hands upon him and bless him. The blessing of God, that's what we desire. That's what we pray for. And everything else that happens tonight and all the future, Lord, for this couple and family, we commit into your care and into your hands. Bless this mother and father. Bless the families that they come from. We thank thee that the faith of their fathers and mothers is the same faith that is in them. Praise thee for the godly upbringing. And we thank thee for the way that the Lord blessed their children. And now here's the next generation. Bless these children, we pray, in Jesus' worthy name. Amen and amen. We're going to sing the rest of the hymn. Verse 3. Oh, give us homes where Christ is Lord and Master. And we wish you well. But a few more things to say later. But the Lord bless you and your family, and especially Ezekiel. Thank you. We bid you welcome to our gospel meeting tonight, which takes the form of this special sending forth service. To you in the congregation, and there are some visitors, family members and friends of the Burnham Bay family, to you we bid a very warm word of welcome. We have the Reverend David McMillan and his wife tonight from the Mission Board. Good to see you. Other members of the Mission Board, Missionary Council, if you're here, we do welcome you sincerely in the Lord's great name. Some are listening in tonight on Sermon Audio and Facebook, and to you, the extended congregation, we welcome. Now, I have one very important message to make, announcement to make just now, and it is to do with physical distancing. At the end of the service, Alejandro and Vanessa and the children will go to the door. I've been doing that over the past number of weeks and standing back, keeping 2 meters or so and just saying goodbye to people like this. And sadly, that's how it's going to be tonight. When you are in Spain especially, there's lots of hugs and kisses and all that kind of thing. But there's to be none of it tonight. So you've got to resist that. Even if you're family, what you do at home is your own business. And you can embrace them when you get home tonight. But it is important that we follow that little rule tonight and keep your distance. And I know they would appreciate that also. Maybe when they're back the next time, we can have another farewell that's properly done Spanish style. I see your brother John Dummigan and his wife too. Good to have our brother from the Missionary Council. Welcome, John. I'm going to run through these quickly. Wednesday, Alejandro is going to drive to Spain with his household goods. My wife said, now, don't talk about their luggage. They're not bringing, their luggage is a suitcase. It's more than a suitcase that he's bringing to Spain. It's a van load. So it's their household goods. And then bringing Lyle Boyd's household goods back to Northern Ireland. And David Crawford will be traveling with him. So you'll not be lost for a conversation. David talks well. We'll keep you in good fettle. Thursday night is the midweek service. We're doing a series, Hindrances to Prayer, and there'll be special prayer on Thursday. Friday night, the youth fellowship recommences at 8 o'clock. Young people, you're to read the first 3 chapters of Genesis for the quiz, and we welcome young people who have not been members of the youth fellowship to come along on Friday night, as we said this morning. Presbytery is also on Friday night, and that will take place in Martyrs Memorial. Next Lord's Day, the prayer meeting at 8 o'clock. Sunday school recommences at 10:45. We gave you all those rules for Sunday school this morning. We don't need to go into them tonight. Bible class is also back at the same time. I think it says 10:30 there, but that's just for the leaders and the Sunday school teachers have been at that time. And Mervyn is doing a wee series, just like you, a study on the disciples of Christ. New members are also welcome. Our worship service, 12 noon, meditations in Mark, and it is planned that the Lord's table will follow the worship service. This is all pending on what happens on Friday night at Presbytery, but I know it is the desire of Presbytery to get back to the Lord's table as soon as we can. The office bearers will have a season of prayer before the evening service, and at family night, Mr. Jonathan Whiteside from Port of Ogie will be the preacher. I hope to be in Cumber in the will of God to speak at their harvest service. Thank you for your tithes, offerings, and all the money that comes in for the various aspects of the work of God in this house. There are collection plates at the door. If you want to support Alejandro and his family, then there's a separate vessel there at the door. You can put the money into it. His name's on it. Don't miss it on the way out. We encourage you to do that. And if you want to support them on a monthly basis through covenant support. We have these little cards from the mission board. You can fill it in. You can give it to Philip Calderwood, or you can send it to the mission board. Either way, we can supply you envelopes, or you can do it directly to the mission board. Take one of those, and the latest photograph with Ezekiel in it is also available there on the left as you leave. Now I just want to, pardon me, say just a little something tonight at this special sending forth service for Alex and Vanessa. Alex is the easier way to pronounce the name, though I'm told at college everybody called him Alejandro, so they went for the more complicated version, but he's known here in the main as Alex. I have to say that God has raised up from this church in recent days young men for the ministry. And we've been rejoicing in this fact recently as we sent back to college young men who are studying for the work of God. And this month, Jonathan Story's gone back to third year, David McCauley to second year, and Greg Gibson into first year. And it makes me wonder who will be next September. Maybe God is already working in the heart of some young man from this congregation, going to send them forth into the work of God. Last year, of course, we saw Josh Moffat settled in Bangor. He's been there for a year now. And a little bit before that, of course, Armin went to the United States or to Canada, and then latterly the United States, Noring before that. I'm just thinking over the past 20 years. And this is the stamp of God's approval upon the house of God here in sending forth young men for the ministry of the Word. Alex has completed his course at the Whitfield College of the Bible. He has completed it well, and he did well in his examinations. He wouldn't want that to be said, but Josh has already referred to that this evening. He's done well, and we congratulate him. He graduated from our college Monday week ago, along with other students, I think six other students that night. And he has received a Macedonian call to the little congregation called, by the town's name, Corticus Nuevis. And they have called out to Alex, come over and help us. God has opened an effectual door for this young man. And the mission board has taken him on under their care. And the session of this church has endorsed that. And he goes, therefore, with the prayerful and the practical support of this congregation. The Reverend Lyle Boyd and his wife have to return home due to family commitments after 34 years. But here in the providence of God, as one man has to come home, there's another man that God has raised up to send forth. Now, of course, in case you don't know, this young man has a connection with the congregation because his mother was originally from Ballymoney. And she studied Spanish at university, and part of her degree course took her to the land of Spain for a year. That's what had to be done. And during that year, she met a young man who was training for the ministry. And we could just say the rest is history. And then we see Alex coming over to Northern Ireland during the summer months to work for his cousin. And then 6 years ago, he married a wife, married a good thing, the Bible says, taking upon himself a wife. And he moved here, and he has had the three lovely children that we've seen tonight here in Northern Ireland. He settled among us as a dear brother in Christ, and we have watched him grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. He soon proved himself to be a godly, spiritual, faithful young man. He got involved in church life, serving the Lord in various ways, including outreach ministry and children's work, and even going to the mission field, one of the groups. Vanessa likewise got involved in God's work in this house. He did a year as the home missioner, going door to door in evangelism and also visiting some of the seniors from the church. And Alex, I can tell you that was really appreciated. And the seniors got to know you, and they got to love you in the Lord and respect you too. He showed himself faithful in all things, especially in the place of prayer. And I think that when a young man gets it right in the place of prayer, well, then he'll not go far wrong. God called him into the ministry. And he's now leaving us to go to the land of Spain. And I want to say to you, this congregation will uphold you at the throne of grace and prayer. Alejandro, Vanessa, and your three children. I want to thank God for all your encouragements to this pastor and to this congregation. And I say tonight personally, and I know I say collectively on behalf of the church, we're going to miss you, brother. But we know you're going at the call of God, and we wish you well. Now, we have greetings from the land of Spain. And we're going to ask your cousin Jonathan to read this on behalf of your mum and dad. So if Jonathan can come and do that. Thank you. And then I might just say we have greetings from the mission board. Alistair Hamilton, it's good to have you tonight. You'll be representing the mission board, and I'm sure you'll mention something with the missionary council as well. And as soon as Jonathan sits down, you can come and speak to the congregation. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to, just before I read this, wish Alex and Vanessa God's richest blessing for the future, and on behalf of the church here and on behalf of my own wee family, we will be praying for you and remembering you before the throne of grace and prayer. This is a letter from Joy and Hossie. Dear Reverend Park and members of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, on this special occasion for Alex, Vanessa and family, we would like you to know how much we appreciate all the help you have been to them in these past 6 years. Thank you for accepting them among you right from the start, even though maybe at times you didn't understand what they said. Thank you for making sure they learned English in the best Ballymoney accent. But most of all, thank you for praying for them, for supporting them so generously, and for making them very much part of the church family. It has meant so much to us as parents to know that they were so well looked after. But above all, this evening our hearts are full of gratitude to the Lord for his goodness and faithfulness to our family. When we dedicated our children to the Lord all those years ago, it was with the prayer that not only would he save them, but he would also use them in his service. We are blessed and humbled to watch him answer those prayers. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth, 3 John 4. Of course, we are pleased that Alex and Vanessa are coming back to Spain. We'll have all our grandchildren a lot closer, and that's a big benefit. But really, our deepest joy comes from knowing that they are walking in the Lord's will, wherever that may lead, and that he has called them to labour for him in a little part of his vineyard, or maybe we should say among his olive groves. Please continue to pray for them in this new challenge that they face, that the name of the Lord Jesus might be glorified in the land of Spain. May the Lord bless each one of you and give you fruit for your labour, not only in Ballymoney, but right across the world. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labour of love, which he has showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints, yes, even to Alex and Vanessa, and do minister. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. Wishing so much that we could be with you tonight, yours in Christ, Jose and Joy Bernabeu.
Mr. Park, thank you very much for the words of welcome here this evening. It is a privilege to be here tonight to represent the Mission Board on such a special occasion for Alejandro. I do want to read a verse. The Lord has laid this verse in my heart over the past few days as I thought of this service. The verse is found. You'll know parts of the verse. Perhaps some of you will know all of the verse. Joshua 24 and verse 15, and it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods of your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." It is a very special service here this evening, Alejandro, as we wish you Godspeed as you go off to serve the Lord in the land of your birth and to take up and serve the God of your fathers. I think there's something very telling in that verse as I considered your situation. I can say that on the Mission Board, we've been really impressed with Alejandro as he has come before us, brought his testimony, his call, and his desire to go to the land of Spain and to serve the Lord there. And it is nice tonight to recall your testimony, Alejandro, particularly the Lord speaking through his servant, Dr. Kearns, who is here tonight and will take part in this service, at the Ballymena Bible Conference in 2010. And particularly impressed, as you told us, of how those words that I often see each Lord's Day on the back of that pulpit preach the word, and how that was used to speak to you back in 2010 and draw you into the Lord's service to preach the word. And as Mr. Park has said, we are amazed at the timing of all of this, although we shouldn't be amazed at all, at a very point in time whenever very quickly our brother Reverend Lyle Boyd through circumstances, wanted to come home and indicated that to the board, and we were concerned and considering what we would do to fill that gap, yet the Lord had a plan. A plan had been developing for many years, but he only revealed it to us at that point in time. And that plan came to a head whenever Alejandro came to us, having spent some time out there in Spain, particularly in the Lyle Boyd's church there, and said that he felt the call of the Lord to go and take up the work in Corticos Nuevos. I can say it's been a personal privilege, Alex, to work with you as we prepared the video and as we latterly made some plans for the support from the Mission Board as you go forth. So tonight, on behalf of the Mission Board, I would like to thank all of the people in this congregation and much further afield who have generously supported the fund that Alex has set up to support him in his work in Spain. I can say it's a bit of an understatement, perhaps, to say that your deputation meetings didn't go as planned, but nevertheless, the Lord has touched hearts, and it is remarkable tonight to recall how people knowing that issue have stepped up, and the Lord has provided at this point in time to allow our brother to go out there and for the Mission Board to be able to provide financial support as he takes up the Lord's work there in Spain. And on that point, a very special word of thanks to the Missionary Council. I know John is here and other members of the Missionary Council are here. We are indebted to the Missionary Council tonight, who over the past number of months since the beginning of this year have provided grant assistance to Alejandro as he is prepared to this point tonight to be able to go out and to serve the Lord in Spain. They have plugged that gap and have done that faithfully over many years, but for tonight, we really do want to say a big word of thanks to the Missionary Council for the support that they have provided to Alejandro and his family at this point in time. Now, normally at this part of my comments, Alejandro, I reach into my pocket and I take out an envelope, and I then would say to you that we would wish on behalf of the Mission Board to give you a token of our appreciation. I'm not going to pull out the envelope tonight because of the circumstances we are in. However, you will receive a virtual envelope tomorrow morning. But nevertheless, the wishes are still there. On behalf of the Mission Board, we wish you well. We trust that the Lord will bless you and that you will know God's richest blessing on your life and your family and your ministry in the days that lie ahead. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen.
Alistair, thank you very much for coming tonight and for doing that on behalf of the Mission Board. We have some little presentations that we want to make to the family now, and we're going to ask you to come up to the front, just up here. This will be the easiest way to do it. If all three of you can come up, all five of you can come up, Mum and Dad and the three children, to the front, just into the centre here. Yes, just wherever. So on behalf of the church, our treasurer, Ira Buick, and our clerk of session, Phil Moffat, want to give a presentation over to Alejandro. That word's the same in Spanish and in English, isn't it? No. So,
can I let you into a wee secret? Whenever, as most of you know, I'm Alex's uncle, and I've known Alex since he was born. And whenever we were over in Spain, we always called him Alex. And when Alex was a good, Alex always got Alex. But when he was naughty, whenever his mum and dad said Alejandro, we knew there was a problem. And Alex needed a talking to. So if I hear Alejandro, he's normally been naughty. So we'll just call him Alex. It's a joy and a privilege for me to take part in this meeting tonight. And as I say, I've known Alex since he was born. And what you see is what you get with Alex. He's grown up. He's one of the most godly fellas that I have ever known. And 6 years ago, they came here as two. Two became three. Three became four. Four became five. And as the wee family head back now to Spain, we wish them God's richest blessing. Amen. Us personally, amen, and as a church family, we'll be praying for them as the day and the days that lie ahead. this is a wee gift from the church, and it's a gift from your Hebron family as you leave to take up the pastorate in Spain. Your minister session committee, congregation, friends wish you God's richest blessing and anointing in your ministry among the people of Corteca Nuevas. One wee verse, Alex, we want to leave with you. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. And it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord."
In the service of the sending forth of our brother and sister this evening. As I was thinking this afternoon of what we would say, I began to think about how the Lord had led this young couple so much throughout their lives. You see, it was no coincidence that the Lord had prepared in his wisdom a home wherein he would be raised by God-fearing parents. It was no coincidence that Alex and Vanessa were both bathed in prayer and brought under the influence of the gospel at an early age. It was no coincidence that at the age of 13, Alex asked the Lord Jesus into his life to become his own and personal Savior. It's no coincidence that, of course, he had family back here in Northern Ireland in this very assembly who knew and loved the Lord. No coincidence that 6 years ago they decided to move over here and they identified themselves with the work and witness here in Hebron. It was no coincidence under the faithful ministry of our dear pastor, the Reverend Park, and under the influence of Dr. Kearns, that the Spirit of God brought our brother to a place of surrender and service. And it was no coincidence that he entered into our Bible college to prepare for the Christian ministry. As I thought further upon Alex and Vanessa, it was no coincidence that the Lord opened up a door of opportunity in his homeland upon completion of his course. And I'm sure that you will agree with me that our God has simply planned it all for this young couple. You were sent forth this evening, Alex and Vanessa, with the full support of our presbytery, of our mission board, and of the fellowship here in Hebron. But as the Lord opens up for you a field of service, and you go forth bearing the message of the greatest story that has ever been told, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, both you and your family will be greatly missed in this congregation. You'll be missed by your pastor. You'll be missed by the members of the choir, not least of which the choir mistress and the pianist themselves. You'll be missed by this entire congregation. But those who will miss you the most will be those that knew you best and loved you most, the Macaulay and the Buick families. As you go forth to the land of your calling, we would echo the words that our brother Ivor has spoken of from the great Apostle Paul: "Be thou steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." As our pastor has quite rightly said, we assure you, Alex, Vanessa, and the entire family of our prayerful support, and it therefore gives me the greatest of pleasure on behalf of the congregation, session, and committee, to present you with this preaching Bible, Preach the word, brother. Be instant, in season, out of season. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you, Phil. Don't want to leave Vanessa out. Don't be going away, Vanessa. You stay there. I'm going to ask Diane to make a wee presentation now to Vanessa on behalf of the congregation here. And Diane can speak for as long as the other two or as little, whatever she wants to do. Don't be going away. We don't want to leave the children out either, so our superintendent has organized three children to make a wee presentation. So those children that are going to hand these things over, come hither. That's very good. Don't be going away just yet. The youth leader would like to say something. Samuel Johnson. Diane.
It's been a tremendous blessing for us to have Alex and Vanessa with us over the past number of years. And on many occasions we've had Alex to speak at Youth Fellowship. I've enjoyed it every time he has come. He's spoken at Youth, he's spoken even at Youth Weekend and at Youth Sunday. And each time you've always encouraged our young people in holy living. That was something I always noticed in what you were preaching about. And your words have always been full of practical advice for the youth. And Vanessa, you too, you've been you've been at home looking after the wee family, but you were with us in the youth to testify. And it was a night that we remember fondly. We appreciated that night. And again, a very practical and an encouraging word to the young people. As a young family, I think you've been a great example to our young people. And if they need a young couple to look up to or to think about, to aspire in their Christian life, I would point them to you. I think you have been a great example to our young people. So it's with mixed emotions tonight that we say goodbye to you. We're sad that you're leaving, but we're delighted that you're going at the call of God. As a youth, we will remember you in prayer. You know that we pray often for the missionaries that have left our church. And I'm sure we'll get a Zoom call or something organized. I was thinking, I wonder would a minibus get to Spain. I don't know. I think we could maybe organize something before too long. We wanted to get you a little memento of your time here. We weren't sure what to get, and we thought what better than a picture of the North Coast. So we've got a picture here of the White Rocks, and whenever you look at this, hopefully it will be a reminder of your time here, but also remember there's a people here praying for you and remembering you before the throne of grace. So, okay. Lord bless you both.
Thank you, Samuel. That is it. I think it'd be the best we can do is just give them a wee round of applause to wish them well. That's the only hand contact you're going to get your own tonight. Now, Alex, we're going to give you the opportunity to say a few words. So you... He has his own little microphone. Alex, you can come to here. Okay.
My problem is I broke it. Hello, could you hear me from here? Yes, okay. They gave me a lapel mic, but I was with one of my daughters and she broke it, so I will have to shout a bit louder tonight. We are so, so thankful for what the Lord has done, and so, so thankful for all the congregation here. I want to thank all of you for coming, for making the effort to come here tonight. Some of you, perhaps from more distance, so my family and I really appreciate your effort in coming here. I'm not very good at farewells and speeches and all that, but I believe there are some things that perhaps I need to say. But I will try to be brief because there's a lot of things that have happened today and a lot of things that are taking place in this meeting, so I will try to be brief. Before anything else, I want to give thanks and give the glory to my God, the God of heaven, for sending his Son to die for me. Without Christ and without Calvary and without the gospel, I wouldn't be here. Most of us, we wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be here tonight. I would be in my way to a lost eternity in hell. And rightly so, because of all my sins against God. So Christ is my greatest joy. He is my life. He's my salvation. He has done everything for me. So my greatest gratitude goes to him and is for him. And if you're here tonight without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, I would urge you that you would realize your need and you would come to him in repentance and faith. And God has done so many things in my life, and I cannot but be grateful for all that. I thank God for giving me a goodly heritage, for giving me the parents he gave me, parents that know and love him. My dad and my mom, and also my sister, of course, their love and care and example has had a tremendous influence in my life. And they are those, perhaps the greatest means that God has used to bring me to himself and to save me. And I'm very, very thankful for the goodly heritage I have. Of course, I thank Vanessa, my wife. He had to go with the kids, but I thank her for all her work, her love and care to me and to her children, and also, of course, for her godliness. Many times, perhaps, when my heart is cold, seeing her and her devotion to the Lord and how she prays and reads the Word has been even the way that the Lord has used for me to come back to him and even to grow in my walk with the Lord. I also thank my close family who are here, Granny and Diane, who have been like a mother and a sister for me. I thank also, of course, to Ivor and Sylvia and Jessica and Lucy for their love and their help toward us as a family since we came and since they know us, of course. And also, of course, for all the extended family that I have here. You made it so much easier for us to come here and to settle and to be able to make this our home. I also want to thank Jonathan, my boss for so many years, for giving me a job and every summer that I came and also since we came here, and for the great help that he has been for us. And of course, I want to thank Mr. Park for his ministry here for so many years and for his guidance, advice and help in our time here, and even for the part that he has had and how the Lord led us to Cortijos Nuevos. Thank you very much, Pastor. And of course, I thank the leadership of the church, the elders and the committee men for their good example and their advice, and for all the members of the church here in Ballymoney. Thank you very much. You have been an encouragement and a blessing for us. And of course, I cannot forget of the senior people of this church, those that perhaps cannot come because they are shut in, they are sick. I want to thank them very much, because this last year I have been able to know them better and even learn so much and be encouraged so much by them. So thank you very much to all the congregation here in Ballymoney. I also want to thank, of course, the college, the Whitfield College of the Bible, and the two principals that I have had in my time there, Mr. Nelson and Mr. Ferguson. Thank also the good friends that he has given me. Thank God for the good friends he has given me in the college, good brothers in the faith, and all the good times that we have been able to have. And even the ones that I have been able to travel with from here, from Ballymoney, Joshua
and Johnny and David. I thank the Lord very much for them. All of you, I really thank the Lord for you, and we love you in the Lord. And of course, I want to thank the Missionary Council and the Mission Board for their help and support, not only from now on, but even during this year. Thank you very much to them for all their help and support and the encouragement and the blessing that they have been to us. And of course, as we think now of going to the church in Cortijos Nuevos, which is in Jaén, in Spain, I want to thank Mr. Lyle Boyd for his steadfast work there for so many years. And we would like to follow his example. May we reap where he has so faithfully sown for so many years. As I was thinking of what to say, and as I was thinking of returning to my old country, it came to my mind those words of Naomi in the book of Ruth, but actually just the opposite of what she said. I have to say that I went out empty, and the Lord has brought me home full. While here, while we have been here, the Lord has given us so many things. Of course, as it has been said, 3 children, even a church family, because this is also our family. Even many good examples, even loads of friends in the Lord, even 4 years of good and sound biblical instruction, and of course, many, many other things. You have filled us, you have filled me and my family, so we go now to Spain, we go full. I'm full of your love and care and your help and all you've done for us. We thank you very much. We will miss you very, very much. We will miss this church very much. We love this church, and we assure you that we will be praying for this church. And God willing, as it has been said, we're not going for a lot of years and we will never return. God willing, we will be back. Perhaps next year we will be back for some weeks here, so you'll have to see us again. You have to see us again in the not so distant future. And as I go, I would ask you please pray for us. We will need it. Everything is uncertain now. Our plans, our flights, our times, our schedules, everything is uncertain. Everything changes in no time. Everything could change. Even it could be that I will not be able to travel on Wednesday or the flight that we have for the 12th of October. Perhaps we will not be able to take that flight and we will have to change that. But what we really know is that Christ is the same. Christ, we are going to preach Christ, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So please pray that as we hold fast to him and follow him wherever he leads. The Lord gave us just a week ago a token and a confirmation of his calling and of his leading to us, because it has been said just 10 years ago at this time of the year, it was when the Lord called me and going to Ballymena Free Church to a conference, and Mr. Kearns was preaching there about growing in grace, 2 Peter 3:18. And as we went to the graduation last week, Mr. Bean, as the moderator of the church, he went and spoke of the same text, 2 Peter 3:18, just 10 years after that. So he took that as a confirmation of the Lord of what he has done in our lives. So please pray for us. And we are very, very thankful for the church family and for every one of you that are here. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alejandro, for your kind words. And on behalf of the church family, thank you for all that you've said. Now, we are going to turn to God's Word this evening, to the prophecy of Ezekiel, very appropriately. During the time when Alex was with us for that year or so on the home mission, we met every Wednesday morning at the manse, and before going out, sometimes we went together. Sometimes Alejandro went his own way, but we met for prayer. And then when COVID-19 came, things changed. Because of COVID-19, our services have been usually kept to the hour, and the hour is gone. We're making one exception tonight, and it is for this special meeting. And I'm not going to preach long. My wife will say, I'll believe it when I see it, but I'm not going to preach long. And I'm going to refer to a number of these verses in Ezekiel. I would commend them to you. I would like you to read the opening 3 chapters. And if I was going to do the reading tonight, I would take the first 3 verses of chapter 1, the first 3 verses of chapter 2, and then verses 4 to 11 of the 3rd chapter. But I'm not going to do that tonight. I want you to Read it for yourself. Read the whole story here in the opening three chapters. But I want to speak about Ezekiel this evening. We know from the Word of God that he was a son of a priest. Chapter 1, verse 3. He was carried away captive into Babylon. The opening verse tells us that he resided among the captives by the river Kibar. In verse 1 also, he received a most majestic vision of God when the Lord called him to be a prophet, and the first chapter really is all about that vision. The word of the Lord came to him in a most powerful way. It came expressly, as we read in verse 3 of the opening chapter, and the hand of God was upon him in a mighty way, the same verse. Now, there's all kinds of stories about Ezekiel that we cannot substantiate. Some Jews believe that he was a descendant from Joshua. Others say that he was the son of Jeremiah, who was also called Buzi because he was despised by the Jews. Jewish tradition teaches that Ezekiel was approached by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego for advice whether they should resist the command of Nebuchadnezzar and choose death by fire rather than worship his idol. But all this is tradition, it's speculation. Some of it may be true. However, what we do know is the facts that the Word of God supplies. As I thought about tonight, I was thinking about Ezekiel with the dedication that has taken place and Alex going to Spain. I thought how good it would be for young Ezekiel Bernabeu to grow up and to develop some of the great and the spiritual characteristics of the prophet who lived in this world over 2,500 years ago. And then I thought about Alex himself and how there are applications for him as he takes up his ministry and his first charge in the congregation there in Spain. And I had this all prepared, and I had forgotten that Ezekiel actually played a tremendous part in your call to the ministry. So I believe it's all in the plan tonight. In 605 BC, Jerusalem was attacked by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and Daniel and other captives were taken into Babylon. In 597 BC, Nebuchadnezzar exiled the Jewish king Jehoiakim, or Jeconiah, as he's also known as in Scripture, along with 10,000 other captives, including the king's family, the nobility of the land, and the leaders of the army. And among the captives was this prophet Ezekiel. God did not leave himself without a witness, as he has promised. Ezekiel spent the rest of his life in Babylon. Now, I don't know if Alex will spend the rest of his life in Cortegas Nuevas. I suspect he might spend the rest of his life in Spain. Only the Lord knows this. Cortegas is a small town. It has a population of just about 1,000 people. But in the Caption area of the province of Jaén, there are over 632,000 people. And God is sending Alejandro Bernabeu to his own people in the land of Spain. And here's the thoughts that the Lord has given me tonight about Ezekiel the prophet, and as we think of God's servant going to Spain. First of all, his call. In chapter 1, and the opening line tells us, of verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel. Ezekiel, who had commenced his ministry in Israel as in the priestly family, is now being called to the office of a prophet, a preacher of the word. And he is called with great power and great conviction. Now, when a man enters the ministry and he takes up the pastorate of a congregation, it's vital to have this conviction of heart. God has called me. The word of God came to my heart expressly, Ezekiel is saying. Definitely. There was no doubt about it. You don't know what you're going to face in the Christian ministry. You don't know what trial there might be ahead of you that'll cross your path. You don't know what hardship in the providence of God that the Lord will permit. And so it's important to have this to fall back on, the call of God in your life. Alex is called. He's persuaded in his heart, and we listened again a little bit to the testimony on Thursday night of this. And we are persuaded likewise, the church here, the mission board, the presbytery, and the church in Corticus who have shown this interest in him, we are persuaded also that this young man has a call from God. We will come to see some of the difficulties Ezekiel had to face, especially working with a rebellious, hard-hearted people, enough to make anyone give up in the ministry, certainly to fear. I pray that such days in your life will be very few, for it's hard to work, as Ezekiel had to, with people who are brazen and hard, intimidating, and against you. But your call from God will be a great stay. It'll be an anchor in such times, in the midst of all kinds of trouble. Ezekiel had this definite call from God, and Alex, so have you. And then I want you to think about his congregation. In chapter 2 and verse 3, the Lord said, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. For they are an impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall they know that there hath been a prophet among them. I just want to ponder those details, Alex. A rebellious nation, they had turned their back against God. And the word rebellion is used over and over again concerning these people. Impudent children, the word here means hard of face. They were stiff-necked, referring to their stubbornness. And God says, I want you to be their prophet. I want you to preach to them. I want you to bring my message, whether they hear you or whether they forbear, whether they hear you not. And there would be something in the very attitude and countenance of the people that would make Ezekiel uncomfortable and uneasy. He might feel threatened and intimidated, for God says, be not afraid, either of their words or of their looks. Chapter 2 and verse 6 and chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us something about that. Now, Alex, I'm glad that the church in Corticus Nuevas are not like this at all. The congregation that you're going to are a lovely people, and I have met them many, many times. And I know that they will love you, they will support you in the ministry, they'll be behind you in the work of God. Probably the great comforting fact for Ezekiel, other than the call of God in his life, is what we read in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, where the Lord tells him, Thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel, not to many people of a strange speech and of an hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely, had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. Here indeed is a great comfort as we think about these words tonight. Ezekiel was called, and he was called to labor among his own people. And Alex, you're called to labor among your own people. Despite their rebellion, despite the hard-heartedness of Israel, God says here, they shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. May that be so with you also, Alex. In the midst of Corticus Nuevas, outside the church, you might meet with hostility. I don't think you'll find it in the church. People might shun you. They might avoid you. It wasn't always like that. I remember when we first came across from Baez de Segura to Corticus, back in a time when a group of young people were brought out to do ministry there. And we went to the village, the town, to do open-air work. And the crowds actually gathered around, and people were shouting out as they received the gospel tracts, come and start a church here. Well, that soon changed when the church was brought to that town. and the preaching of the gospel commenced, and Rome sent in two nuns, I think it was, to go around everybody to say, make sure you don't go to that church. So there was hostility that rose up among the people. But I trust that the town will know that God has sent a prophet, a man of God, that they will know a prophet has been among them. And then I thought about his consolation. At the end of chapter 1 and verse 3, we read about the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And a very similar phrase in chapter 3 at the end of verse 14, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. This is his testimony. And here indeed is a great comfort. The expression is used to define God's strength, the hand of God. And the hand of God in Scripture signifies power. Now remember, the very name Ezekiel declared this truth also. God's strength, or God strengthens. And I pray that God's hand will be upon you, dear brother, and your family. Now, there'll be no shadow of a doubt about that whatsoever, that this will be your consolation, that the hand of God in your ministry will be mighty upon you. Then quickly, I want you to think about his commission, or the charge that God gave to him. And that brings us a little bit further into chapter 3, verse 17 to 21. I'll not read the verses for sake of time, but here the Lord is appointing his child as a watchman over the house of Israel, to bring a faithful warning to that people concerning the judgments of God. Now, this is a sermon in itself, isn't it, really? In fact, it's a series in itself. But this is all about faithfulness. The subject of blood guiltiness is brought to our attention here. You are to hear from God, as this passage tells us. And you will hear from God in his word. And you are to bring the message of God to the people, and I know that you'll do that. And that includes warning the unconverted about the judgment of God that is to come. And you don't want your hands, as it were, to be dripping with the blood of these people on the great judgment day. You want to discharge your ministry faithfully. You want to bring them warning from God. You want to tell them the plain word of the living God. And I know that you'll do that. And there's one final little thought. I just wish I had more time to preach on these things tonight. But I'm going to give them to you, and you can think about them. We have his confidence, and it's really in the phrase, thus saith the Lord. I think I have the reference 3 and 4, but it's chapter 2 and verse 4. Here's a phrase that is reiterated over and over again throughout the entire book. Something like 126 times this phrase is used, and it's mentioned for the first time in chapter 2 and verse 4. He had the highest degree of inspiration, because as he went forward to declare the word of God, he was speaking as the prophets did, as thus saith the Lord. And this is your confidence too. This instills the greatest confidence into my soul every time I stand in this pulpit to preach the word. I'm not bringing the words of man. I'm not bringing the words of a professed prophet who claims apostolic succession. I'm not bringing the words of a mere denomination or of a confession, though I believe our confession is excellent. As we come to stand, we can say, and Alex, you'll be able to say this, I have a word from the Lord. And we want to preach like the prophets of old, thus saith the Lord. And this will be your great confidence, that you have a message from God. You know how the book ends. It ends with one of the wonderful Jehovah titles, Jehovah Shammah. And so if you go right to the end of the prophecy, that's what you're going to read. The Lord is there. And in the original Hebrew, Jehovah Shammah. Alex, that's our prayer. As you go to critique us, as you enter your ministry, as you preach to that congregation, that every single Lord's Day and every other meeting that is conducted in that place, you will know the Lord is there. And that will be a crowning success to your ministry. The presence of Almighty God there, and you knowing it beyond all shadow of a doubt. You go with the blessing of this church and the prayers of our denomination. May God help you and bless you and encourage you in his work. We have a hymn that we're going to sing. It's a short hymn, no chorus. It is a prayer, and we're going to make this a prayer to God just now. Father of mercies, condescend to hear our fervent prayer. While this our brother we commend to thy paternal care. And as we sing this hymn, I'm going to ask the elders of the church to come forward. We're going to stand at the front. We're going to social distance or physical distance as much as we can. And Dr. Kearns is going to lead us in a special prayer to commit Alejandro to the Lord, that the blessing of God will be with him, especially from this night onwards. And if we have any other presbyters here or members of the mission board, we'll be very glad to have you come and stand with us at the front as we send this young man forth with the blessing of God upon his life for his future ministry. Father of mercies, condescend. We'll keep our seats as we sing the hymn. Dr. Kearns, we're glad to have you tonight, and we'll just hand this part over to you.
I suppose I heard sometime before that something I said had some part to play in Alex's call, but if I heard it before, it has long since disappeared, and therefore it came as news tonight. I remember that meeting. It was a young people's meeting. And I do remember that many young people, as I remember, it was rather late. The preacher was very short, always knee-high to a grasshopper. But it was a late meeting, but the Lord did speak to various young people that night. And it delights me to know that he spoke to you as well. It does bring to mind that you must, as Mr. Park said, go to the pulpit with a message from God. Because sometimes the most unthought part of what you say, sometimes an unplanned part of what you say, if it comes from the Lord, is for somebody in that meeting. And I've seen that various times, things that I had no intention of saying, but the Lord used that to call people, to guide them, to bless them. So I'm delighted the Lord has given me at least some little part in seeing you go forth. It's been good to get to know you, and we will commend you to the Lord now in prayer. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we rejoice in thy saving grace, amen. Sovereign grace, regenerating, justifying, sanctifying grace, that glorious grace of God that takes a dead sinner, brings him to life in Christ. As the psalmist said, you found him on the dunghill and you set him among princes. There could be no worse place than to be dead in trespasses and sins. And yet we bless thee that thou dost take such and set them among princes. Amen. We thank thee for thy saving grace in the life of Alex and Vanessa. Amen. We praise thee for the goodness of God we have heard about tonight. Thou didst bring them into godly Christian homes. Lord, that didn't save them. We thank thee that there was a time when thou didst meet with them graciously, when the Holy Spirit brought them to life in Christ and produced in them genuine saving faith and repentance toward God. We thank thee for calling them together in marriage, and we thank thee, Lord, for now the call of God to service. We praise thee that there's no greater privilege. We think of Mr. Spurgeon's advice, that if God has called you to be a preacher, do not stoop to be a king. Lord, we bless thee that it is a wonderful privilege. May Alex never lose the awe, the godly fear of what it is to stand before a people and speak for God and speak in the Lord's name. We remember thy word to Jeremiah the prophet when thou didst tell him to be sure that he would speak to the people all the words that thou didst give him. Diminish not a word. We pray that thou wilt grant Alex the grace, the courage to speak for thee. And we pray, Lord, that as he does so, thou wilt add the mighty blessing of God. We have heard much tonight about what he needs. We thank thee for what thou hast already supplied. But, O Lord, as Alex goes, we realize he needs that hand of God upon him. Amen. He needs that mighty anointing of the Spirit. Amen. We pray, therefore, that thou wilt fill him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. We pray that he may know what it is to live full of the Spirit, under the control of the Spirit. And we pray that as he ministers, he may know that special outpouring of spiritual power, that his words may have with them the blessing of heaven, and that he may see God do great things. We know that Europe as a whole is a dark, dark place spiritually. We know that Spain as a country is also dark. And, O God, we confess to thee that looking at the situation that faces preachers all over this continent, in the flesh, it seems hopeless. But, Lord, we thank thee that thou hast a people to call out for thy name.
Amen.
We thank thee that the gospel will not fail. Amen. We praise thee that gospel ministry, preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, will be used of God. And we ask thee that in Corticos Nuevos, this young couple may see miracles of grace.
Amen.
We thank thee that no matter how many nuns tell people not to go, if the Holy Spirit moves, there will be work done.
Hallelujah.
And we pray that we shall hear very soon of the Lord's blessing upon these young people.
Amen.
Bless Vanessa. We pray that thou wilt enable her in the home There will be times of loneliness, times, O God, for both of them, when they will feel what it is to be cut off not only from here, but even by some long distance from their families. We pray that Thou wilt keep them near the cross. And Lord, we pray that day by day they may know that sweet fellowship with each other and with the Savior. Bless their little ones. We commend them to Thee. We pray that they will be unspoiled and unsullied by the secularism that will be all around them and by the Romanism that no doubt they will face. We pray that Thou wilt keep them in the hollow of Thy hand, and we ask Thee that they will come early in life to know the Lord. Make them each one an unadulterated blessing to their parents and indeed to the work of God. So hear our prayer. Answer us abundantly. And, O Lord, as we separate tonight, we pray that Thou wilt keep Thy hand upon us all, that we may walk in the fear of God and the faith of the gospel, amen, knowing the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit upon us. We ask these things, giving Thee our thanks. In Jesus' precious name, and through the merits of His atoning blood. Amen.
And everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Cairns, for leading in prayer. Among those listening in tonight, I know there's visitors from Spain. And if Jose and Joy were able to be part of this service, we bid them a very warm word of welcome. You're going to leave tonight in an orderly fashion. You'll be asked row by row to leave by the stewards. And Alex, Vanessa, and the family will go down to the door. They'll stand at a distance, and you'll be able to say, Buenas noches, el Señor te bendiga. Okay. El Señor os bendiga, if you want to do it plural. All right? Amen. That's the Lord bless you, by the way. Just in case you're saying something silly. Lord bless you.